Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to an unexpectedly special edition of the Three Martini Lunch, the Tuesday edition. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. And sometimes the news just makes you shift your format a little bit. We still have three martinis, but today they're all crazy. And Jim, we weren't necessarily expecting this, but you have to embrace the crazy when it hits you, right?
We might get into a tradition of crazy Tuesdays, you know, but casual Fridays, hump day, every day's got its nickname. So it might be crazy Tuesdays. And perhaps after we had one crazy Tuesday in November, and now we get four more years of them. It's kind of like the Groundhog Day story there, Greg.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Well, let's get started here. Crazy martini number one, the $1 trillion coin. Yes, of course, we are running a huge debt. And of course, there's clearly no place where we can cut spending or reform the tax code or reform entitlements to help bring things into line. So now there are folks on the liberal side, of course, encouraging the production by the Treasury of a platinum coin, and will just automatically make it worth $1 trillion. And Jim, in addition to the massive inflation headache that would happen here, the fact that there are people, and I still think this is a distinct minority, who actually embrace this idea. I guess if you think that raising taxes on rich people will wipe out a $16 trillion debt, then I guess you think this is a good idea.
You know, I'm still trying to get my head around this idea. And I guess the idea is that if it is legal, meaning that the Treasury is allowed to make platinum coins. When this legislation was introduced, I believe it was by Mike Castle a bunch of years back, the whole point was for like coin collectors. It was not really meant for like coins to – it was not meant to set financial policy. It was meant to let the Treasury make platinum coins to take care of the coin collector market and to do commemorative coins and other, you know, doodads that were not really meant to be a financial instrument. And the gist here is that, well, you mint a coin, you stamp $1 trillion on it, and poof, presto changeo, you deposit it with the Federal Reserve, and lo and behold, we have $1 trillion more than we did yesterday. But we don't. We have a coin that says $1 trillion on it. And, you know, really, in the end, this gets down to some, you know, on the one hand, this is very complicated. On the other hand, it's very simple. When you have a piece of paper in your hand that says $1, what's it worth? Well, $1, but what it really is how much people believe that it's worth. You know, if you go to McDonald's for the dollar menu, it's you know, it's worth one burger with no cheese, apparently. I haven't shopped on the dollar menu in a little bit. If you print out a bazillion, you know, if you run the printing presses and you have inflation, suddenly it's not worth that. Suddenly the McDonald's Corporation doesn't want that dollar anymore because that dollar isn't worth as much. So this is kind of stealth inflation. It also sounds kind of banana republic-y, a little Weimar republic-y. And it just is this nutty idea that is somehow, like, this is how desperate to avoid spending cuts some folks on the left are. I mean, you're looking at this and thinking, is wrecking the entire world financial market's faith in the currency of the United States, is it really, like, are the spending cuts that bad, Greg? let's give them a try. If they turn out really bad, let's save the $1 trillion coin for Plan B. And I'll spare you all of the obvious jokes about what happens if it gets lost in the sofa cushions and don't use it in the vending machine and all that kind of stuff. So I was thinking, well, maybe we could have a good crazy, bad crazy, and then crazy crazy. But I think they're all just flat out crazy crazy today, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone who understands economics is just banging their head on the desk when they read a story like this. You even have Republican Congressman Greg Walden announcing plans to introduce legislation to specifically ban this idea because so many people on the left seem to think it's a good one. So the fact that this just didn't die as soon as it was first suggested shows just how bad economically a lot of folks on the left are, including Paul Krugman, Nobel laureate in economics. And what a fabulous transition that is to our second crazy martini. Mr. Krugman has apparently been recommended by the great political and economic minds such as Danny Glover. Riggs and Murtaugh apparently were passed over for Secretary of Defense yesterday. And a guy from the Guardian, a paper in Britain, think Paul Krugman should be the next Treasury Secretary. Well, given those lofty names putting his name into consideration, Paul Krugman has made it known that he thought it was important for him to come forward publicly and say he does not want to be considered for this job. He is withdrawing his name from consideration, even though it was never in consideration. Says he is not a good administrator and probably wouldn't be good for the job. He thinks he's really good at the current job he has, though, so he still has a little bit of work to do in terms of sizing himself up. Well, Jim, I would just like to point out that I'd like to end the speculation and take my name out of consideration to be the next head coach of the Bears. I know a lot of people want that, but I'm just thinking it's not the right move right now.
I was about to play that game, Greg, that I was going to start. No, I was going to make you Treasury Secretary. I am hearing that President Obama is going to shock the world and consider Greg Corumbus to be his next Treasury Secretary. The name Jack Lew is a feint designed to kind of just, you know, distract everyone from this surprise. And then you can come out and say, no, I don't really want the job. It's very flattering to hear all the buzz around me. It's one of those things where, I mean, you hear the occasional, like, okay, I mean, you know, Jay Carney ends up as White House Press Secretary. Once in a great while, you'll hear somebody in the media world get mentioned as a potential actual manager of a government agency. I don't know about you, Greg. The first name that comes to mind when I hear circumstances like this is Matt Millen, the Fox Sports commentator who had, you know, just somehow talked his way into the GM job in Detroit and turned out to be in the long, and this is a Jets fan saying this, in the long history of disastrous general managers, probably the most abysmal and chaotic and horrific general manager any sports franchise has had in recent memory. So the lesson of that was, don't take commentators, folks who talk about what's going on in the field, and put them in charge of your organization, because it turns out they don't really know what they're doing. The ability to talk about a subject is not necessarily the same as, you know, making good decisions and managing and all that stuff. And so the idea that, you know, every time you hear like Fareed Zakaria to be Secretary of State and stuff like that, generally these are very bad ideas. And the idea that, I mean, maybe you could say Tony Snow was the most successful columnist to, you know, I don't know if you want to consider, you know, Fred Thompson, you know, you probably argue, okay, columnist and commentator Ronald Reagan might have been the single most successful category in this group. But generally talking about something is not the same as actually running something. This is why you'll never see me running for anything in the whole wide world. You know, one more sign of the crazy that at any point Paul Krugman ever got serious consideration to be Secretary of the Treasury or any other position of serious responsibility in the Obama administration.
Yeah, I can just picture Obama taking out a big Sharpie and crossing the name off the list and then just putting his forehead in his palm and saying, where do we go now? Where do we go now? He's taking himself out of consideration. So, well, if you thought that that wasn't crazy enough, let's head to martini number three now. And as expected, President Obama nominated former Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel to be the next defense secretary. It's a controversial nomination. Eric Cantor was one of the first ones out on Twitter yesterday saying that Hagel's attitudes towards Israel are unacceptable and that he should be probably shot down as the nominee. Others, think tanks, some conservative, some moderate around town, they're kind of split on Hagel. You have Carl Levin, who's the head of the Armed Services Committee and also Jewish, saying he's fine with Hagel. He thinks he'd be a good choice. But not to be outweighed in all of this consideration, the Iranians. Iran's foreign ministry appears to be backing Hagel as Secretary of Defense. The quote from Reuters is, "We hope there will be practical changes in American foreign policy and that Washington becomes respectful of the rights of nations." So, first of all, apparently they thought Obama was being too tough on them. And secondly, they think things will thaw now that Chuck Hagel is there. So you have nothing to worry about, Israel. Nothing.
I'm going to outsource my commentary here to the Twitter handle Biased Girl, who summed it up very well in just about, you know, seven words. Well, as long as Iran is hopeful about the Hagel pick, you know, that really is who you want your Secretary of Defense to please most. I mean, there's a lot that's been said about the Hagel pick. I think what's kind of fascinating about this is how much it indicates that Iran doesn't understand the dynamics here in the United States, that they presumably think they're helping him by saying how much they, you know, quick, put out a statement saying we like him. This will help him in Washington. That'll win over Schumer, I'm sure, you know. As I wrote in the Jolt today, what's kind of fascinating about Hagel is it's really tough, other than, you know, okay, he's a Vietnam War veteran. He's a senator, so the thinking is that other people, the Senate will be more, he'll have good, you know, good relations with the Senate. The only flaw in that thinking is that generally other Republican senators tend to hate Chuck Hagel. apparently this guy really had a abrasive attitude towards his colleagues, went through staffers really quickly, which strikes me as a very unnerving sign about him as a manager running over at the Pentagon there. I mean, Hagel may yet get confirmed, but there are so many fascinating little factions that are not enthused about him. It'll be fascinating to watch for the next couple of weeks. And what's really kind of striking is the absolute lack of a concrete argument of what Chuck Hagel gives you as Secretary of Defense that no other candidate does, other than, you know, the you know, consensus viewpoint is that actually this is just a thumb in the eye of the Senate. Obama can get this guy, and he's PO'd about not getting Susan Rice, so we're getting Hagel, whether or not he really is the best guy for this job.
Well, perhaps he was the only one on the list to get the endorsement of the Iranians. That's, I guess, what would separate him from the rest of the pack, potentially. And while there's a lot of questions, Jim, about Hagel's nomination, and I'm certainly not ready to support his nomination, I will say this. I would prefer Chuck Hagel at Defense over Paul Krugman at Treasury.
Ooh. All right. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna one-up you, Greg. How about Hagel at Treasury, since you like Social Security privatization,
right,
and Krugman at Defense, huh? How's that grab you?
I'm not sure we'd have a Department of Defense after the next 4 years.
I'm just kind of picturing, you know, the economic seminars for all the troops while, you know, the shells are coming in and stuff like that. Pay attention to this. This is why we need, you know, remember, Krugman had said that the alien invasion would be great as stimulus because of the Keynesian effects and stuff. So maybe, you know, under Krugman, we'd get the Undersecretary of Defense Krugman, we'd finally get a massive mobilization against the alien invasion.
Wow. If we're going that far, we might as well have the Department of Peace that Dennis Kucinich wanted to set up. So we said it was a crazy day, folks. We said it was crazy.
We can't get any crazier. There you go.
There you go. Jim, have a great rest of the day. Hopefully the world will be a little more sane on Wednesday.
It kind of has to be, Greg. See you tomorrow.
See ya. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.